At the southern tip of a continent, where the land begins to fray into fjords and islands, lies a vast and terminal territory. It is a place sculpted by primordial ice, scoured by a relentless wind, and defined by a silence so profound it feels like a physical presence. This is a land of staggering scale and a quiet, unyielding endurance. This is Patagonia. From the vantage point of a condor, it appears as an endless expanse of muted greens and ochres, punctuated by the impossible turquoise of glacial lakes and the jagged white spires of the Andes. The quality of light here is different, a sharp, crystalline luminescence that seems to emanate from the very air, making the vast emptiness feel both immense and intimate against the dark, brooding mountains. But to look closer is to discover a series of modern, scattered societies, ones that have not merely survived, but have woven their existence into the very fabric of this demanding environment. This is a story not of isolation, but of a deep and abiding connection to the wind that shapes, to the land that sustains, and most importantly, to the people who call this place home. This is the story of the quiet life at the edge of the world. Life here is shaped, governed, and defined by the elements. The weather is not just a topic of casual conversation. It is a constant, active participant in daily life, a force that dictates the rhythm of every hour. Brilliant sunshine that feels like a gift, a sudden driving rain that turns gravel roads to mud, a blizzard that can erase the world in minutes and enforce a state of housebound patience, and a gale force wind that you can lean your entire body against, a physical presence that scours the landscape and the soul, all can make their appearance in a startlingly short span of time. The people of Patagonia have a well-worn saying, delivered with a knowing, stoic calm. If you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes. This profound acceptance of nature's unpredictability is woven into the regional character, a unique blend of immense patience, steadfast pragmatism, and a deep-seated, humble respect for the world around them. The population is small, a handful of souls scattered across a territory larger than most European countries. This scarcity of numbers, stretched across immense distances, fosters an atmosphere of profound self-reliance and quiet interdependence. In the small towns and remote estancias, anonymity is a foreign concept. Everyone is connected by a short chain of necessity, work, and shared experience. A broken-down vehicle on a lonely road is not an inconvenience for others. It is a responsibility. Even in the southernmost cities like Punta Arenas, life retains a frontier heartbeat. It is a city where the wind scours the wide avenues, and the history of exploration, shipwrecks, and hardship is etched into the colorful tin roofs of the houses that brace themselves against the polar gales. Life moves at a human pace, unhurried, deliberate, and mindful. It has to. The distances are too great and the weather too fickle for a life of frantic haste. Daily life in Patagonia is anchored in the bedrock of the home. In the small towns that cling to the mountainsides, like El Chalten, or brace themselves against the open steppe, like Gobernador Gregores, life revolves around simple, dependable, and time-honored routines. The day often begins not with the sound of an alarm clock, but with the low hum of the wind, finding the corners of the house. a sound as familiar and constant as one's own breathing. For many, the first act of the morning is a look out the window, not just to gauge the weather, but to observe the land, the great provider and the great challenger. Are the mountain passes clear? Is the river rising after a night of rain? Are there new lambs in the field? The landscape is the village bulletin board, a living document that informs the day's labor. The family unit is the cornerstone of Patagonian society. Homes are sanctuaries of warmth and light, built not for show, but for shelter, havens from the often harsh and unforgiving weather outside. They are places of the fogon, the hearth, a concept that signifies more than just a fire. It is a feeling of centeredness, contentment, and shared warmth. It is the soft glow of a lamp in a window on a dark afternoon, a beacon in the vast emptiness. It is the aroma of coffee and bread baking, a scent that promises comfort and sustenance. It is the quiet murmur of conversation around a kitchen table, where the day's small victories and challenges are recounted. It is a deliberate cultivation of comfort and togetherness. It is common for multiple generations to live in close proximity, often in houses on the same plot of land, creating a powerful and resilient support network that forms the backbone of the community. Grandparents care for children while parents work. Sons and daughters help maintain the family home. Children grow up with a profound sense of freedom and security, exploring landscapes of epic scale as their own backyards, learning self-reliance and a respect for nature from their very first steps. This inherent closeness fosters a powerful sense of collective responsibility. When a task is too large for one family, a winter storm that buries a road in snow, a truck laden with essential supplies broken down miles from anywhere, the community instinctively comes together. There are no formal committees or scheduled meetings. A call is made, or a neighbor simply notices, and people appear. They arrive with shovels, with tools, with a thermos of hot coffee, not with fanfare, but with a quiet, practical understanding that survival here depends on mutual aid. It is a social contract written not on paper, but in the shared experience of living in a place that demands cooperation. Tradition in Patagonia is not a relic of the past preserved under glass. It is a living, breathing, and integral part of the present, a practical code for living passed down through generations. The culture of the gaucho, the horseman of the plains, is the heart and soul of its identity. For centuries, this was a life defined by the horse, the flock, and the open sky. A tradition preserved and passed down, not through books, but through action and quiet example. A father teaches his son how to read the tracks of an animal, how to mend a fence with wire and muscle, how to sit a horse with a stillness that makes rider and animal seem as one. This powerful heritage is still celebrated today, most vividly on the vast sheep estancias that stretch to the horizon. Here, life is a rhythmic, hypnotic partnership between human, horse, and dog. Their movements, a silent language understood across the immense, silent landscape. The work is grueling and solitary, yet it contains a deep and satisfying grace. There are no instruments. The creak of saddle leather, the low whistle to a dog circling a flock, the jingle of a spur, and the percussive beat of hooves on the hard earth are all that is needed. It is a powerful, meditative experience that connects each generation to the ones that came before, a tangible link to a way of life that has endured for centuries. There is an immense and quiet pride in this cultural heritage. The traditional attire, the beret tipped against the sun, the neckerchief to ward off dust, the wide belt laden with a silver-handled knife, is not a costume. It is the practical everyday uniform of a life of hard work, worn with a genuine dignity at local rodeos, community gatherings, and national celebrations. Each element, from the hand-braided leather reins to the intricate patterns on a poncho, tells a story of local materials and artisanal skill. It is a vibrant personal symbol of a culture that has steadfastly and successfully maintained its unique identity against the overwhelming currents of globalization. This tangible connection to the past is etched into the landscape itself. In the quiet valleys, one can find simple, weathered wooden homesteads that have been inhabited by the same family for generations, their endurance a quiet testament to a deep and stubborn love for this land. The land is the lifeblood of Patagonia. It is their farm, their mine, their pasture, and their greatest challenge. For centuries, the people have made their living directly from the earth. And today, sheep farming and resource extraction remain the twin backbones of the regional economy. The shearing sheds on the estancias, filled with the scent of lanolin and the buzz of electric shears, and the industrial ports of cities like Comodoro Rivadavia, are the vibrant centers of activity. The lives of the gauchos and the oil workers are demanding, governed by the unforgiving schedules of seasons and global markets. It is a life of long absences, an inherent risk, a profession that requires immense skill, courage, and an intimate understanding of the land and the machinery used to tame it. They spend weeks at a time in remote camps or on the open range, their connection to family maintained by a crackling radio or a satellite phone. On shore, a sophisticated network of modern infrastructure supports these industries, but it is said that nearly everyone in Patagonia has a connection to the land, whether through a family member who works on a ranch, a job in a port, a business that services the trucks that travel the long, lonely highways, or simply a small vegetable garden in their own backyard. But the economy is slowly and carefully diversifying. Tourism is a growing sector, as more and more travelers are drawn to the region's pristine, unspoiled nature. This brings both opportunity and challenge. A new generation of entrepreneurs is emerging, creating small, innovative businesses that are deeply rooted in place. There are craft breweries using local caliphate berries, design studios creating high-fashion knitwear from traditional wool, and local guides who share their deep knowledge of the mountains and rivers with a quiet passion. Yet everything, in some way, is still tied to the land. The rhythm of the regional economy rises and falls with the fortunes of wool prices, the global demand for oil, and the flow of visitors. It is a constant, humbling reminder of their profound dependence on the earth's bounty and the unpredictable forces of the wider world. Patagonian food is a direct and honest reflection of the landscape. Simple, hearty, pure, and deeply connected to the seasons. The cuisine is built around what the land can provide in a climate that is often unforgiving. Lamb is the undisputed cornerstone of the diet. A whole lamb, splayed on a cross and slow-cooked for hours over an open fire, the traditional asado, is not just a meal, it is a cherished ritual, a celebration of community, a taste of the place itself. It is the centerpiece of every significant gathering, from weddings to birthdays to a simple Sunday with family. The process is slow, deliberate, and meditative, a time for conversation and the sharing of mate, the traditional herbal tea. Traditional methods of food preservation, born from centuries of necessity in a time before refrigeration, are still an integral part of the culinary culture. Meats are salted and smoked, fruits are turned into jams and preserves, and vegetables are pickled, ensuring that the bounty of the short summer can last through the long, harsh winter. Foraging for wild mushrooms, rose hips, and berries in the short summer and autumn months is also a common practice, a way to supplement the diet with fresh, local flavors that cannot be cultivated. While traditional food remains the heart of the cuisine, the culinary scene is evolving. In towns like El Califat and the Welsh-influenced Gaiman, a handful of innovative chefs are reimagining Patagonian ingredients, using ancient techniques in new and exciting ways. Cozy cafes and tea houses have sprung up, serving excellent coffee and homemade pastries, providing warm, inviting gathering places for friends to escape the wind and share a moment of comfort. But at its core, Patagonian food culture remains rooted in the home, a shared meal with family, featuring ingredients that were raised, hunted, or foraged just a stone's throw away, remains the truest and most authentic taste of the land. To truly understand Patagonia is to understand its nature. The landscape is not a passive backdrop. It is an active, powerful force, a constant and awe-inspiring presence in daily life. The vast, treeless steppe is covered in a thick, hardy blanket of coiron grass, punctuated by dramatic basalt cliffs and the sudden, breathtaking appearance of a glacial lake. The air itself feels clean and sharp, so clear that the mountains on the horizon seem deceptively close, a phenomenon that can warp one's sense of distance and scale. This environment does not just invite exploration, it demands it. Hiking is a national pastime, a way to connect with the land, to clear the mind, and to find a profound sense of solitude. Ancient gaucho paths, marked by stone cairns, were once the only way to travel between valleys. Today, they serve as hiking trails that lead to some of the most breathtaking vistas on the planet. The view of the Fitzroy Massif from a high trail, its granite teeth tearing at the sky, or the surreal thunderous collapse of ice from the face of the Perito Moreno Glacier. The experience of walking these paths is immersive. The springy turf underfoot, the constant caress of the wind, the sudden reveal of a colossal glacier carving its way through the mountains, the taste of pure cold water from a mountain stream. Guanacos, a wild relative of the llama, are a ubiquitous and iconic part of the landscape, their elegant forms silhouetted against the endless horizon. Condors soar on the thermal updrafts, their massive wingspans a symbol of the wild, untamed spirit of the place. the relationship between the people of Patagonia and their environment is one of deep, practical respect, forged over generations of coexistence. It is a relationship built on the understanding that the land does not belong to them. They belong to the land. For all its apparent remoteness, Patagonia is a remarkably well-connected society. A sophisticated infrastructure of excellent, though often breathtakingly lonely, roads links the major towns, turning what were once epic journeys by horse into long but manageable drives. To travel down the legendary Ruta 40 is a surreal, meditative experience. You can drive for hours through an immense, empty landscape, a perfectly engineered ribbon of asphalt stretching to the horizon, without seeing another soul, before arriving at a small, welcoming town. These incredible feats of engineering are a powerful symbol of the determination to overcome the formidable challenges of geography. Ferries, of course, still play a vital role, especially for reaching the more isolated communities in the southern fjords like Caleta Tortel. These journeys are a beautiful reminder of the ever-present water, a force that is both a connection and a formidable barrier. The public bus system is efficient and reliable. Its modern coaches a familiar sight on the long, straight roads, linking even the smallest and most isolated villages. This seamless blend of modern convenience and profound isolation is one of the defining paradoxes of Patagonian life. It is entirely possible to live in a tiny remote village surrounded by nothing but mountains and the steppe, yet still have access to high-speed fiber optic internet and be just a long scenic drive away from a regional airport. This unique combination allows the people of Patagonia to enjoy the peace, tranquility, and close-knit community of rural life without sacrificing the benefits and opportunities of the modern world. It is a carefully constructed reality, a testament to their ability to innovate while preserving what they hold most dear. For the young people of Patagonia, growing up here offers a unique and complex blend of immense freedom and inherent limitation. Education is a high priority, with an excellent public school system that prepares students for a globalized world. However, for higher education, the vast majority of young people must leave home. They typically travel to the great distant capitals of Buenos Aires or Santiago to attend university. This period away from home is a modern rite of passage, a journey that is both exciting and daunting. It offers a crucial chance to experience the wider world, to gain new perspectives, and to acquire specialized skills that are not available at home. For many, it is their first experience of true anonymity, of life in a bustling, multicultural city where the sky is hidden by buildings and the silence is never complete. It is a stark contrast to the close-knit familiarity and open horizons of home. But the pull of home, the deep-seated connection to this unique place, is incredibly strong. A significant number choose to return after completing their studies. They are drawn back by the powerful bonds of family, the tight-knit community, and the unparalleled quality of life that they often only fully appreciate after having lived elsewhere. They return with new ideas, fresh energy, and global perspectives, contributing to the region's dynamic and continuous evolution. They become the new doctors, teachers, engineers, and entrepreneurs. The great challenge for Patagonia in the 21st century is to create enough diverse and challenging opportunities to keep its young, highly educated population at home. It is a delicate and ongoing balancing act. Preserving the unique culture and cherished small-scale society while fostering the innovation and economic growth necessary to build a sustainable future for the next generation. The rhythm of day and night in Patagonia is a study in stark and beautiful contrasts, a rhythm dictated by the high latitudes. The long, light-filled days of summer, when the sun barely dips below the horizon, are a time for work and intense activity. The white nights create a sense of boundless energy. Fences are mended, buildings are constructed, and the shearing season is in full swing. The roads are busy, the hiking trails are active, and people are out and about, socializing at late evening barbecues and making the most of the precious light. The energy is focused and productive, a reflection of a society built on hard work and a deep understanding that one must make hay while the sun shines, because the winter will surely come. Conversely, the long, deep darkness of winter brings a dramatic shift. With only a few hours of twilight-like daylight, life turns inward. A profound and palpable sense of quiet descends upon the land. The towns and villages become still, often blanketed in a thick layer of snow. The wind and the crackle of a fire in a wood stove are often the only sounds that remain. This is a time for home, for family, for rest, and for craft. It is a time for mending tools, for knitting, for reading books, for telling stories. Lights glow warmly from windows, signaling a collective retreat into the comfort and security of domestic life. The people of Patagonia cherish this peace. The quiet nights are a time for reflection, for conversation, for simply being present with one another. Life in this remote and beautiful corner of the world is not without its significant challenges. The weather can be relentless, its power a constant factor in every plan. Storms can close roads and ground flights for days at a time, reinforcing the sense of isolation from the outside world and making a simple trip to the doctor an exercise in uncertainty. The cost of living is high, an unavoidable consequence of the fact that most consumer goods, from fresh fruit to cars to building materials, must be imported over immense distances, adding the price of fuel and freight to every item. The landscape, for all its breathtaking beauty, is unforgiving. With limited arable land for farming and a finite amount of space for building, there is also the constant complex challenge of balancing tradition with the pressures of progress. How does a region welcome a growing number of tourists without compromising the fragile ecosystem and the peaceful way of life that attracts them in the first place? How do you maintain a unique and precious cultural identity in an age of overwhelming digital connectivity and global monoculture? These are the vital questions that the people of Patagonia grapple with thoughtfully and collectively every single day, in town hall meetings and in quiet conversations around the kitchen table. Patagonia exists in a delicate, beautiful, and constantly negotiated balance between the old ways and the new, between the untamed wildness of nature and the engineered comforts of modernity, between a cherished solitude and an essential community. It is a place shaped by the wind, the land, and a quiet, unyielding, and deeply admirable strength. Here, life is not measured in grand events or dramatic upheavals, but in the steady, dependable rhythm of the seasons, in the warmth of a shared meal, in the comfort of a familiar story, and in the simple, profound beauty of the everyday. It is a living testament to the idea that in a world that is constantly, relentlessly speeding up, there is still a place and a deep human need for a quiet life.